Today, we are hanging out with return guest Danica Apolline Matic, who also featured in episode 87 of this podcast. A few months ago, Danica invited me to be part of her Golden Spiral Proving Group, a group consisting of homeopaths from around the world who have agreed to help prove the new remedies which Danica is creating. Danica is also the founder of the Blueprint Essences, and there is an amazing opportunity for one lucky listener to take up the incredible business opportunity which Danica shares in this episode. Today, Danica and myself are opening up an incredibly important conversation which needs to be had amongst the homeopathic community. The question of royalties or some sort of compensation for the hard-working souls who create and prove new remedies for us to use in our clinics. As you'll find out in today's episode, there are countless hours of financially uncompensated for work that goes into creating a new remedy. I really hope that today's episode will spark some lively discussion in the homeopathic community of how we can financially compensate the incredible people like Danica who are working so hard to create beautiful new remedies for us to heal our clients. Please support Danica's amazing work by visiting her website at www.danicaapolline.co.uk. That's www.danicaapolline.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we have a beautiful return guest who is near and dear to my heart, a very special, gorgeous, beautiful soul, Danica Apolline Matic. Welcome back, Danica.
Thank you so much, Eugenie. It's so amazing to be here with you. Absolutely delighted.
It's so cool. You know, this podcast has been incredible for helping me get in touch with people around the world. Now, you were on episode 87, which was like lots of episodes ago. My maths isn't that good, but your episode's going to be probably about 220 by the time this one comes out. So what's that, 140 episodes ago? 130. And we've become really good friends since. Like it might be online. We've never met in person. We're going to next year. But it's been so cool hanging out with you. And we've done some cool stuff. Maybe we can start there because Danica is a whiz with all things energy, medicine, collective consciousness wise. I don't even know how what you do, we can't put in a box. Anybody who wants to know how you were introduced to homeopathy will have to listen to episode 87. But can we maybe start with provings? Because is that okay? So maybe a few months ago, Danica sent me a message and she said, I've got started this proving group and we've got Angelica Lemke and Paul Terrio and all these other amazing people. Do you want to come join? And I'm like, okay, I'm new to this proving thing, but I will do it. And it was a really cool experience. Maybe do you want to tell our listeners the journey of how you decided on the substance and maybe a little bit about the story of how you got it and then the remedy itself and how they can get it because it's available through your website and all the information. So maybe start right from the beginning and just walk us through that experience.
Thank you, Eugenie. So it's really interesting because I started doing provings in 2020. And for anyone who hasn't done them, it is honestly one of the most amazing things to get to do. The level of depth and how profound it is to just be part of discovering new remedies. And there are so many wonderful souls around the world who are doing such amazing work. And for me, the remedies that are coming through now, I'm thinking of them as remedies for the new earth. They're much bigger. One of the members of our collective, our Golden Spiral Proving Collective, Nick Biggins, talks about these are some of the new polycrests. And it feels like the remedies that are wanting to come through are really supporting us as we grow into a new earth and release some of the old. And so I love it. I get so excited. I can be really nerdy about it. So it began actually with concrete. The very first one I did was concrete and then Golden Spiral. And that just everything opened for me when I started working with the Golden Spiral. But more recently, someone had found out about Golden Spiral, had read the proving. And then one of the members of our group, Hilary Hample, who had worked with Melissa Asalem, bless her amazing soul. And Melissa Asalem had made an essence of petrified sequoia, which is, these are trees on the island of Lesbos in Greece that were petrified in a volcano 17 to 20 million years ago. So it goes right back to before humanity was here on Earth. And she said it was an incredibly powerful remedy. She found out that I'd been working with family constellations, and I've been doing lots of work with ancestral and clearing ancestral trauma and ancestral family patterns. And she got in touch and she said, basically, what we found was that it was amazing for clearing ancestral trauma. But basically, Melissa died, bless her heart, before this essence really took kind of went out into the world. And she contacted me and said, you know, will you make it? Will you prove it? And it was a really interesting journey. And I was like, okay. And one of the things about provings, and I don't know kind of what your experience, how you would describe your experience, Eugenie, but for me, when I've done provings before, because I work intuitively and do a lot of energy work, I tend to intuit what can come through and what the remedy can be used for. And I think most of us kind of work in that way when we're doing provings. Occasionally, somebody truly proves a remedy. And what that means is you truly experience some of the challenges that someone might go through. And that was the first time doing petrified squares. The first time I went, ah, this is what actual proving can feel like. And we work with people who experience major head injuries, have been through major traumas in doing provings. It was the first time I really understood the service involved. You know, we are really serving the homeopathic community sometimes. And for me, it's quite a funny story now, but at the time, I basically did, to collect a teeny sample, I did a 17-hour round trip, because I wasn't actually staying on an Lesbos, I was staying on a completely different island. And it was a 17-hour round trip, driving on the other side of the road to what I'm used to in the UK, navigating ferries, being shouted at by men in Greek, who I think thought I must have been Greek because I was there out of season. I couldn't understand a word they were saying whilst they were trying to direct me onto a ferry and all sorts. I was really proud of myself that I'd managed to do all of this, kind of driving through mountains and mountain ranges. And I'd literally done this entire 17-hour mammoth mission. And I was 5 kilometres away from where I was staying. It was 11 o'clock at night on one of the tiny Greek islands, out of season, so there's nobody around. And I went, in inverted commas, the wrong way. So I turned the car around and the sat-nav redirected me. So I followed the redirection. And as soon as I went on to where it had redirected me, I realized I was in trouble and I couldn't go back. I couldn't go. And basically, because it had redirected me onto what wasn't even a road, it was like a dirt track, literally dirt down a mountain. And it was too steep for me to reverse. So once I was on it, I was like, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Kids be warned.
I just I did have a moment of going, oh shit, there's only one way and it's down. So I literally, I'm sat now, I've said that it, you know, it was kind of half a mile down. I literally, in the pitch dark, 11 o'clock, down a mountainside, no proper road, all dirt track, winding like this. I felt like I was in the Amazon jungle with like the car being scratched on either side by all the bush that I was in. And it was absolutely terrifying. I've very kind of connected, I suppose, to a bigger belief that we're here to serve. And if I didn't think that I had things to do in this life still, I think I was on the edge of thinking, you know what? If I didn't believe that, I'd think I was going to die now. It was really scary. About halfway down, I think I just went into shock. I went into like an aconite state. What was really incredible was I was supposed to see a friend of mine whose mum had suddenly passed just before I'd gone on the trip. And I'd packed her some aconite 10M, and a whole series of weird things happened where the trains all failed. So I couldn't actually get to her in time before having to get my flight. So I'd traveled with this aconite 10M. It was almost like the universe knew that I was going to need it. And so, yeah, so I'd gone into this kind of shock state halfway down, and I got to the bottom of the mountain in the end after an absolutely terrifying, probably 20 minutes.
Petrifying, you might say.
Oh,
they petrifying.
petrified. Quite absolutely. And then the funniest thing happened where I got to the bottom, and I was in a panic as well about the excess on the car. I was like, oh my God, it goes for €500. And I got to the bottom of the mountain, and where the dirt track met the main road, I was like so happy that I could see main road. But then there was this little tiny dip where the dirt track went into before it met the road, and the whole nose of the car just went straight into that and just stuck there. And that was it. I was done then. I got out of the car and I was like, I don't know what to do now. I couldn't think. I wasn't crying, but I couldn't think what to do. And I was really scared. And I just was like, oh my God, this is too much. I knew it was to do with the remedy, but I just was like, it's too much for me. And this car quickly drove past, and they've got the Samaritan's law in Greece, which is amazing. So it means that people do have to stop and help legally. And this wonderful couple, they were like angels, stopped, got out of the car. And the guy was like, the number of the rental car guy. I was like, I don't know anything, because I couldn't process. I couldn't think. I didn't know what to do. And he sorted everything. He found the number in the car, phoned the guy, the rental car guy. I was like, I'm really sorry about your car. And he was like, it's okay. As long as you're okay, nothing else matters. I was like, oh my God, he's going to be all right. He was so lovely. And he said, look, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And then the weirdest things happened, where it's pitch dark in the middle of nowhere. No one had reported me there. No one knew I was there apart from this couple and the rental car guy. And yet two police cars drove in front of me, literally one going in one direction, one going in the other. And the two police cars literally crossed in front of me. I was like, that's weird. I was like, that's amazing. And then they both pulled over. Then we had four police officers there. And then another couple of cars stopped. And in the end, we had about eight guys and this one lady from the couple. And the rental car guy showed up, and he reversed the car a tiny little bit, just enough that the other eight people could lift the car with the engine running onto the road. I mean, it was incredible. And there literally was the tiniest scratch on the front of the car, like tiny weenie. The rental car guy said, 50 euros. I was like, fine, done. And the bit, I phoned Hillary. Once I'd got back shaking, I took my appointment at 10 a.m, but I was still, I was needing to take some more the following morning. And I phoned Hillary. I was like, is there something I need to know about this remedy? Because this is what just happened. I thought I was going to die. And am I safe? I was like, am I safe? And she laughed and she was like, yeah, I think you're going to be all right. But what I discovered, and this is the amazing thing about provings. So I'd only literally the month before found out, my family are from Serbia, and I'd only about a month before found out that after the First World War broke out, when after Franz Ferdinand had got shot in Sarajevo, basically Yugoslavia, Serbia was invaded by Austro-Hungary and by the Germans. It was invaded on all sides. And so all the Serbs retreated because they knew that if they stayed, they'd all die. And it was winter time. And their only route of escape was to go over the Black Mountains of Montenegro and the Golgotha Mountains of Albania. And over half of the people who left died because it was winter. It was like a scene from the Misty Mountains scene in Lord of the Rings. And it explains to me why I've had a lifelong inability to deal with freezing cold, like even a gust of wind on the back of my neck and I just completely freeze. And, all of it made sense. And I was like, wow, all of us who are Serbs have got people who perished in that. Mm. But what's really amazing was they went down a mountain. The ones who survived went down a mountain, and it was the Greeks who rescued them. They went to Corfu and were asylum seekers in Corfu, right, Goosebumps?
Yeah, Goosebumps.
So I literally felt like I'd reenacted that journey of my ancestors on some way, shape or form, minus the freezing cold, but going down a mountain thinking I was going to die being rescued by the Greeks. And it was the moment when I was like, okay, this is what a proving feels like. It was terrifying, but incredibly revealing and healing and transformative. And so we've had an amazing adventure. I love that remedy so much. But yeah, we just, we've been proving mastic gum. I can't talk about some of the other things we're proving because you don't know yet.
Where did you sample that? Did you sample it that night, or when did you end up getting a piece of the tree?
So I had it with me when I was going in the car. I'd literally collected it that day. So I'd already begun my journey with it. So yeah, it was holy moly.
I do sometimes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a sensitive prover, which is why I said to you at the beginning, I feel like I'm wasting your time because I'm not that sensitive prover. That can be a good and a bad thing, because I think that's why my energy is quite good. I can see 15 clients a day and it not drain me, and I can do that day after day. So that's the positive side of it. But the negative side of it is that I'm not a very sensitive prover. So I'd have to take a 10M like several times a day to get some stuff out of it. But at the same time, I'm also really scared of something really intense happening, because you do hear these stories of people that are proving things and like really terrible things happen to them, which can have a lifelong impact. But yeah, it's scary stuff. And Can you talk about the mastic gum?
Really interesting, because it's also, and I get that. And I actually feel the weight of responsibility for our group because of that. You know, I do have a little prayer for all of us where I just ask that whatever we're proving, that, you know, all of us that are doing it, experience it in the gentlest way possible, because I'm aware of some of those stories. And this is where it really is, you know, it is service. It's an act of service to the wider homeopathic community and to humanity. And so I'm really grateful to everyone around the world involved in Provings, and really grateful to all of you being part of them. But at the same time as that, I would also, if I'm allowed, dear friend, to challenge you, saying that, you know, I think you feel and experience a lot more than you realise.
I think I do. I think I do. Yep, definitely. And I think I'm a little bit scared to tap into that. But I've had a session with Janie Lavelle about getting more in touch with my inner feminine. So, you know, I'm trying to embrace it, that intuitive side more. And I can feel it unflowering and unblossoming a bit more. So I do think I use it a lot in clinic. It's there. But, you know, we all have our own issues. I've got issues as well. Okay. And so that's why I really appreciate that you have me on your group, even though I'm not the most valuable member on there. But it is challenging me and it's helping me get it. I know there's no such thing as valuable or not valuable. That's what I feel. I realize it's my own limiting beliefs, but I really appreciate being part of it. And I find it really fascinating how many of the people in the group do have these incredible experiences. But can you also talk to us about mastic gum? Because then you got that on the same island, right?
So I got it on, so the island I was staying on Chios, mm-hmm. which is spelled Chios. Just before I go into that, I just want to talk about value and how incredible you are. Everyone listening to this, please, please sign up to support Eugenie on the Patreon. It's £8.50 a month in the UK. It's like nothing. But what you do and what you bring to the world is incredible. So I just want to share, just you said what you value. You bring such tremendous value to all of us, the whole of humanity, Eugenie. Just, you're incredible. So please, everybody, support Eugenie's work, because it's crucial for all of us and our growth. It really matters to me. I've been joking about how I think we're the only profession in the world that thinks that we should do this incredible service work for free, or do our research for free. And actually, it's a huge amount of love that goes into this work and time. And we, yeah, it's really important to be supported in that. So everybody, please sign up.
So much. Oh, I really want to talk about the mastic gum, and then mastic I want to talk about this energy exchange with Provings, because I've actually hinted about it in a couple of podcasts leading up to this one. But today is the conversation, the day I really want to have this conversation about energy exchange and this, you know, scarcity mindset that homeopaths have. But talk to us about the mastic gum, because that one was actually, I actually had some physical symptoms with that one, and the burning in the stomach and the nausea. I had that a few times for a few days after that. Mine was quite gentle. It came on, just this burning sensation in my stomach. It was completely unlike anything I've ever had. Like, I knew it wasn't my symptom. It was the remedy symptom and the nausea out of nowhere. And I was like, that's definitely the remedy. So, but it's a cool remedy. It's going to be really great. All our clients with leaky gut issues, all sorts of digestive issues. I've given it to my husband as well. He's got some leaky gut issues. I'm really excited to hear how he goes. But talk to us about what is mastic gum and what inspired you to create this remedy.
Well, first of all, what inspired me, it was Hillary who inspired me, because when she said, oh, I think you need to make the petrified sequoia proving or remedy and do the proving, I was like, okay, little did I know. She said, oh, and while you're there, you might as well get some mastic gum, because we need that as a remedy. And I was like, okay, not realizing what I was letting myself in for. But the mastic gum, it's been amazing. I joke, it has been incredible. Mastic gum is amazing. So I was staying on Chios, which is basically the island in Greece where these trees grow. They're small shrub-like trees, a bit like olive trees. And mastic gum is, they call it mastica. And these trees, basically, there are two times in the year where the residents, the locals, will go with knives and they cut into the bark of these trees, and the gum, the resin, comes out. And they call them the tears of the mastica, because they take 2 weeks or so where the resin very slowly falls from the cuts in the tree, and they form these tears. They look like tears hanging from the tree. And it was really interesting experience, actually, because I was still in a bit of an aconite state, despite taking aconite after my petrified sequoia experience down the mountain. And something said to me, and now you go to the mastic gum trees, literally the following morning. And I was like, I don't want to drive anywhere. But my intuition was like, and off you go. I think you'll be fine. I was like, okay. So I went for a little drive to an area where a lot of the mastic gum trees grow on the island I was staying. And I felt really compelled to just lie on the ground with my feet up against, bare feet up against the tree itself. And it literally had the most soothing, calming effect on my nervous system. It was incredible. And I love trees. I spent a lot of time with trees. But the way the mastic gum, literally, it was like a complete nervous system regulator. It was amazing. And it did more for me than the aconite 10M did. So that was, again, that was the beginning of my journey with mastic gum as well, and to experience that. And what was really interesting in making the remedy, so mastic gum is known for being able to kill the Helicobacter pylori infection. So I'm sure many of us will understand that Helicobacter pylori is very, very difficult to treat. It usually develops because of low stomach acid that isn't killing off bacteria in the stomach. And Helicobacter pylori, when doctors prescribe antibiotics, they're not prescribing just one antibiotic to treat the Helicobacter pylori. They're often prescribing four mega antibiotics at super high doses when they're trying to kill it. And there's no guarantee that that prescribing will work.
Yeah.
So there's this real desperation to find alternatives or ways in which Helicobacter pylori can be treated, because in conventional medicine, there's a lot of talk around how it leads to an increased risk of stomach cancer. So there's a real kind of emphasis and desire to get this right. And Helicobacter pylori can be killed by mastic gum. It's a huge digestive gum. And I've actually got some right behind me. I can just wave at the camera.
When I was Googling images of the mastic gum, I saw, you know, that we just got a donkey a month ago, the Jerusalem donkey. And I saw the mastic trees with a donkey in the background, because they've got a lot of the donkeys that we have a lot of them. They have a lot of them in Greece. So I was like, oh, that's quite cool. But the way that it forms the little drop, and it's like, the trees are actually really beautiful and the gum is gorgeous.
They are stunning. I just have to say how much I love your journey with your donkey. It's so beautiful. And they do. Donkeys are such a valued part of Greek culture, because, of course, they support the work that people do in Greece, working on the land. Mm. I haven't got within reach the mastic gum, but this is powder. This is powdered mastic gum. And they form these beautiful, clear, they look almost like light amber. And people on kiosk just literally they chew it. It's like chewing gum. You put it into your mouth and it feels a bit crunchy, like it's like a boiled sweet, like it's going to crunch, or like a pill, or like it's going to crunch and break. And it doesn't. It crunches and then immediately goes into a gum. And they just chew on it all the time. They think of it as like a holy grail of health. And they often have in their water bottles, they'll put a few pieces of gum, and they'll leave those pieces of gum in the water bottle for years and just change the water up, because they see it as a really powerful digestive. It's an anti-inflammatory. And as a remedy, when I started to make it, it was really interesting how I used the same pestle and mortar that I'd made the petrified sequoia remedy with. And when I first put the piece of petrified sequoia in that I used, it's very, very hard material. It's petrification, you know, but hard volcanic rock. That's very, very hard. And so it had left in the marble bowl some tiny striations, and from the trituration process, and they're only tiny. So I'd autoclaved the pestle and mortar ready to use it again. And it was still warm. It didn't cool down for a long, long time, and it was still warm. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just start now. It felt like the right time to do it. I just followed my intuition, even though the bowl was still warm. And what was amazing to see was that the mastic gum literally completely melted into the bowl, and it formed this layer of protection over the striations, over the places where there had been these cracks, these tiny, tiny cracks in the bowl. And it's like, you know, the Japanese, I can't remember the name of the incredible process.
Yeah, where they fix stuff that's broken.
Yeah, with gold. I was like, that was exactly what it felt like the mastic gum was doing. And that's when I then got shown, but that's what it does through the body. It's like leaky gut, but not just with the physical body, with the energy field. Any part of us that has leaks or holes, it literally forms this incredible coating for protection. It's amazing.
It's called Kintsugi, apparently.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I got shown that it acts like flypaper going through the system to pathogenic bacteria. It literally kind of attracts them so that the body can take them out. So yeah, that was, it's really cool.
Very cool. And even when you see how they slice the trees, you know, they put like the slices on the side of the tree and then you see the gum come out trying to heal itself and cover those cuts that they put in the tree. So that's going to be a huge one. I often use Helicobacter pylori in potency, and I also use HCl, hydrochloric acid, in potency just to try and increase that stomach acid. And I'll use some balnozos as well. I've had really good success, better than, you know, well, I always say the antibiotics don't work because the clients end up coming to me. But the reality is if the antibiotics did work, they wouldn't come to me. So I see the ones where the antibiotics didn't work and they come to see me. And then I'd say we have 90% success rate. The other 10% usually needs a second consultation, then we tweak some more things, but we always, you know, we always get there. So I'm really excited about this remedy. I can't wait to use it more often. And yeah. Is there anything else you want to say about mastic acid, or do you mind if we talk a little bit about the energy exchange for provings? Because this conversation is not being had, and we need to talk about this. Now, interestingly, I interviewed Andreas Tilch yesterday, who developed the streptococcinum biogene C5 remedy. Well, he actually came up with the idea, but it was actually Helios that made the remedy. Now, it was all his brainchild. And John Morgan, who I have the most incredible love and respect for and love Helios. He used to work at Helios, right?
I did.
So much love and respect for him. So he triturated the remedy, which would have been so much work going into making that. But Andreas doesn't get any royalties from the remedy. Now, there's a remedy that was made here in New Zealand from one of the recent medical interventions. And the remedy that is, did I say New Zealand? Australia. The remedy that was made in Australia from that one was actually from the medical intervention, which I may or may not have procured. And that's, so the pharmacy that has that, all of the sales that they've made from that, which would be probably thousands, I don't get any royalties from that. Now, you have made this remedy, which, you know, the reality is it's really easy to copy a homeopathic remedy. You just need to get it and you can just copy it. So somewhere, something needs to happen where the person that has made the remedy or thought it up needs to receive royalties from this. I feel really strongly about this, because if we just think of your round trip, you know, the petrol, the hiring the car, the all the trauma involved in that, the trituration, you know, did you do it up to a C12?
I did for the petrified sequoia. So I just need to celebrate the incredibleness that is
Paul Terrio.
Dr. Paul Terrio, yeah, and his colleague Kim Kalina, who developed this incredible understanding around what happens when you triturate. He actually triturates sometimes to a 48C with some remedies, and he's mapped out what happens up to a 28C about how we go through the layers of consciousness. We're sending the energy of the remedy through the layers of consciousness. The first four levels are about working through the individual layers of a being. And then we go into the collective, the family. We then move through into the planetary, sending the remedy through the energies of the planet. And bringing that healing there before we go into the solar system and the universe, all the way up to the divine, to source. And I did that with petrified sequoia. I did that all the way up to 28. See, that's 28 hours of triturating.
Exactly.
And it's not just those 28 hours, because you're taking time to write up notes. You're taking time to weigh things in between, to clean things, to, you know, that's a huge, huge amount of work to be doing, again, with a view to hopefully being in service for the whole of humanity. And I do agree. I think there's a real issue around how we look at money in homeopathy. I think sometimes we see ourselves sometimes as healers. And of course, what we're doing is bringing healing, but we're also a profession. And therefore, we deserve to earn a living from what we do. And I do think there's an issue in terms of, you know, when people are making remedies, I do think, you know, royalties are important. I do think it's important that the flow of abundance doesn't just stay with the pharmacies. That flow of abundance should also, I do feel, be shared with the people who bring those remedies through. I know that one of the questions around it is, how can you guarantee that someone's not doing that for money? You know, in the same way that in the UK, we never pay people who give blood, for example, because you don't know you don't want to people to just be doing that because they need money. Mm. And, you know, the same is true for making remedies. It's service. It's got to be a heart calling. But I have to say, I don't know anyone who would go into making remedies that because it's so much work. Mm. I don't know anyone who would do it who wasn't doing it for the love of it.
Can you just break it down a little bit more for our listeners so they can just understand what goes into approving? So, you know, you have you've got this WhatsApp group that we are in, and you're arranging Zoom meetings for us to come on, and then we discuss the remedy. You're making notes, you're collating all of that. On top of that, all of us are text messaging you, emailing you, WhatsApping you all hours of the day and night because we're all over the world, and all this bits of information, all hours of the day and night, you have to collate as well and keep in touch with us, make sure everyone's kind of okay, hear how everyone's going. You're posting out remedies all over the world to everybody. You know, there is so much work that goes into that. And that 28 hours of trituration, that's 28 hours that you can't see clients and can't have an income. All these hours that you're spending collating all this information means that you are not earning an income. And then what's the worst? What really, I mean, technically, you posting this remedy out to all of us, now I have this remedy, I can just make it for everybody else. And if I didn't, you know, if karma didn't rule my life, you know, I could go and make money off your remedy and other homeopaths can make money off it and you wouldn't get a cent. And that's not right. That's why once you send that remedy to me and other homeopaths were asking for it, I'm like, no, I'm not sending it to anyone until we figure out how we're going to compensate the people who have put the work in to create these remedies. That's got to change. We've got to have these conversations of how we're going to make this happen. But have you got some ideas around this?
There are places that are doing it, which is really lovely. And I'd really like to celebrate the work of Roots and Wings in Ireland and Tal Klug and her business partner, Sandra, because they do. They do. So that's why my remedies are there. My remedies are on their way to you. Actually, this morning, I've been putting some together to put in the post for you, along with the next proving remedy, which is exciting because it's a remedy that Hilary Dorian had made up. So we're going to be proving that. Uh-huh. So the Roots and Wings do. They recognise the importance of sharing in the abundance that flows. So there is a piece there around having those conversations. It's a really difficult one because we want to be able to be in service. And as I said earlier, I do think we think we must be the only profession in the world that doesn't pay its researchers. What we're doing is research. And you mentioned that 28 hours of triturating. When I finish triturating, I can't immediately go and see a client straight away. It's not just that hour of triturating. Once I've tidied everything away and cleared everything away, I'm not triturating every remedy I'm making to 28C. Most of them I'm doing between 5 and 12. But it's still, that's a lot of work. And you talked about how the energy work, I feel everything so deeply. My journey with it so that I can bring it through for other people means that I have to decompress when I'm doing that energy work, feeling into and reading what's going on before I can then see clients. So I need an hour, the other side of triturating. It's a huge, huge, huge amount of work. So, thank you for having this conversation. I think we really need to have it in the community. How do we support each other to all benefit? And like you said, the machines, that's a really big question. What do we do? And I don't use a machine. I do make my own remedies energetically without a machine. But for me, I realized in the petrified sequoia journey, one of the things I realized was actually I need to start giving money every time I make a remedy. I need to offer an exchange to those who made it. That's a conversation that I'm to be having with Janice Mikola, particularly about how that gets passed on. And
well, in the meantime, if anybody does want to get any of the remedies that you've made, they can go to danicaapolline.co.uk, and it's danicaapolline.co.uk, and you can purchase the remedies through there, which is very exciting. And you've got the Materia Medica is there as well. Hey, the approving notes, I think people can purchase through there as well.
Yeah, and they're available there. And that's also, and I think I'm going to name this because I'm still in that place of trying to work out. I get asked a lot for the provings and I'll say, you know, here they are. And they're not much. But again, it's to recognise it's a huge piece. It's such a big piece of work. I doubt I'll ever make back, you know, kind of the equivalent of what I'm necessarily put in. But it's a small exchange. And I think sometimes I get the sense that there's this sense of, I'm not paying to download something to read, because there are homeopaths who very generously make their proving notes available for free. Tina Schmidt, for example, you can go onto his website and read Cooper and Concoct and Remedies. It's really wonderful. And I've had that debate. I'm still having that debate. Do I just do that in service? But, you know, and I do say on the website, if anyone can't afford to pay the small amount to download a proving, I'm really happy to give that to people who don't have the money. For me, it's I don't want money to be a barrier for people to access it. Mm. But for people who can, there's this kind of invitation to support the work for us all.
Amazing.
So, yeah, big questions, I think, and big conversations to be had. Thank you for raising it.
Thank you for challenging me to raise it and bringing that into my consciousness. It's not something that I had ever thought about before until we started, you know, when we had chats about it before this with approving and stuff, and you brought it into my consciousness. And I'm like, yeah, I never thought about this. I'm so glad that we're having this conversation. And that's how things start changing, right? It's when we're having conversations, and that's what it's all about. Your womb work, can we please talk about that? Because I'm so excited about that.
I'm so excited about it too. Oh my goodness. So, building on this amazing journey of huge inspiration by the genius that is Dr. Paul Theriot and Kim Kalina as well in the Trating Up to 28C. So it's incredible, by the way. This is the most incredible way of working, to do that type of triturating and then to have the remedies made from that. And the golden spiral that I've got is triturated to a 12C all the way up to through the planet, which isn't in the pharmacies. But I've got, the womb work. So I've been thinking for a while that it would be wonderful to have a menses remedy. And I was going through a huge personal challenge. And occasionally I will post on, you know, to friends on Facebook if there's a challenge going on, if I feel like I've hit a wall. And I try not to do it very much. I've discovered I have autism and, you know, and I understand the executive lack of executive function. But my intuition kept saying, no, post this. Tell people the challenge that you're going through. And it's to do with an abusive ex. And I just was like, oh, all right. That kind of really challenged myself to do it. It's not pleasant. But the most amazing things happened, because sometimes I think when we share, we get answers. Brené Brown talks so beautifully about how when we're vulnerable, that's when it, A, kills off shame, but it enables connection. Mm. And one of the things that came from that was a comment from a wonderful homeopath who has had really big experiences in provings, really kind of knows and has lived what it means to prove remedies in service, and Rebecca Dove Thomas. And she put a message that said, have you heard of the menses remedy? And I've been thinking for a while, my intuition had been saying, oh, we need to make the menses remedy. I didn't know we already had it. And I said, oh my God, do we have it already? And she said, yes, it had been made with the blood of 9 women. Again, Melissa Aslam's amazing work. And in 2009, and just I just felt in every part of my being, I was like, I need to take that remedy, but I cannot take the energy of a remedy made from the menses of other women. It has to be my own. Now, I need to qualify this. I'm deeply spiritual. I have made a whole series of essences. I connect with angels. I talk about angels, teach about angels and goddesses and all sorts of amazing stuff. But I'm a raver. I wear trainers and hoodies and bucket hats. And I'm very much part of this world. I don't dance around trees, you know, with fairies and with flowers in my hair. So there's this whole piece for me around, I love Star Wars. I think Star Wars is incredible spiritual amazingness, and Harry Potter and stuff. So I'm not the kind of person that would make a remedy out of my period blood. In fact, I couldn't say the word period until probably about 5 years ago without a lump in my throat. So it's a real journey, but I just knew, I was like, I have to make this myself. And the most amazing things happened as soon as I started triturating it, which was that my sacral chakra, I don't know if you've done, I'm sure you've had the experience with Reiki where you feel the energy in your hands, the heat in your hands.
I've done Reiki.
I felt that emanating out of my sacral chakra, out of my womb, like literally radiating heat like a radiator out of my sacral. That happened literally within 10 minutes of starting to triturate at the first level. And that's been there ever since. As soon as I think about my sacral chakra, it's like it's switched on. It's amazing. And I was shown all sorts of DNA activations, all sorts of things clearing. And the level of power as a woman that I felt in myself and in my being, it literally felt like a warrior cry of like, rah, I'm here. And I realized that this is something that for those who feel able, for whom it resonates, who feel the call, this is something for all of us to do. It's a gift. And it's not just, so I'm going to be showing people next month in September. We're going to do a 2-hour workshop on the 18th of September.
And online, where I just, right?
Online.
Like anybody online. Can join around the world online in this workshop, which is so exciting. What was the date?
And it's Monday, the 18th of September.
Okay, excellent. I just want to make sure the episode goes out in time. Okay, cool. Excellent.
And the sooner people, if they're interested, book on, the better. I've kept it really accessible. It's just £50 in the UK, which is nothing in terms of, you know, kind of for people who've got money. But if you don't have money, get in touch, because I don't want anyone to miss out again. I don't want money to be a barrier. But if you, for people who are interested, it's really important, I think, to book on as soon as possible. I've made a video explaining what needs to happen, what you need to do. There's some things you need to get to prepare. So the sooner that process begins, the better. And also it means there's time to gather our menzies. And we're going to be doing a journey. I want to show you how to do it. And then we're going to spend a week for people who want to keep joining in every day to spend an hour trading together from around the world, so we can keep sending that energy out. And then after that week, we'll see what happens. Maybe some of the people want to carry on doing that together, but basically everyone's then invited to carry on doing that up to 28C for themselves. And it's so profound to send the energy of your own medicine. This is the cushion that sustains life, which I just think is incredible. We've been so conditioned to think it's dirty through the ages, but it's the cushion that sustains life, to send that through the layers of consciousness. And then to do that from around the world together, to me, there's a real gift in that.
So as something I've been doing for a little while, since I interviewed Patricia Hatherley on the show, who specializes in the lac remedies, when I have pregnant clients, I say to them, keep a bit of your baby's vernix, keep some of the cord blood, get some of the placenta and some of your colostrum and some of your breast milk a little bit later on, and make remedies from all of that. And the incredible thing about that is you have got this remedy to hand down to your ancestors. Imagine making this remedy and your great, great, great granddaughter, you know, 100 years from now, is using this remedy that's made, you know, from her mother's great, great grandmother's vernix. Same with a menstrual blood. Imagine having that remedy, because once you've made that remedy, you have it forever. You can just send that down the generations. Imagine you've got a great granddaughter that has period problems and she takes this remedy made from, you know, great grandma's menstrual blood. And that would be just incredible. I mean, not just period problems. It would heal so many different, I would imagine, issues with a feminine or who knows, all sorts of issues.
It's a gift. It's all of this is a gift for ourselves, for our ancestors behind us, for our descendants. The amazing thing about doing this that I was experiencing as well was, we, in doing the triturating, we're literally clearing out the trauma in the womb. And there is so much trauma in the sacral and so much trauma in our womb, not just ours, but that we will have inherited that trauma from our ancestors because they lived it too. So we're clearing and doing this work. We're doing it not just for us, we're doing it for our ancestors, and we're clearing the way for our descendants. And like you said so beautifully, what a beautiful, beautiful offering and gift and piece of wisdom to hand over to your clients, where you say, you know, these are the ways you can make remedies from all of that. What a gift. And this is the process, like you were just describing. It doesn't have to be used for blood. It can also be used for breast milk, for colostrum, for vernix, for anything.
You've actually just made me, like, as you said that, I was like, I'd love to join you in doing this. And then I would love to have workshops here in Perth doing it as well. And then a percentage of all of those workshops that I do will go directly to you. I think something like, and if there are other homeopaths around the world that take this work of yours and carry that on, I hope that they are inspired to do the same, where in the workshop fee, there is a donation worked in to you for inspiring this work. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Thank you. And I've been thinking the same about how I pass on to Paul in terms of his inspiration, in terms of the levels of trituration and the understanding of that. So that's a conversation that I'm having, with him. So it's, again, it's that flow of abundance just reaching everybody. It's a beautiful thing.
And the thing with abundance is, the more you give it away, the more it does come back, you know. It's it really does, and in all sorts of beautiful ways. Do we have time to talk about the blueprint essences? Like, what, I just keep seeing them on your page, they look so pretty, your labels are gorgeous, but what are the blueprint essences and how can people get hold of them?
So they actually started because of making the golden spiral remedy. And once we'd proved it and saw how many amazing things it could be used for, I had a conversation with someone where I just said, not lots of people know or connect with homeopathy yet and would be able to access the types of healing that this can bring. How could we possibly make this available to more people in the world? And the answer came back, what about making an essence from it? And so the golden spiral essence is the original essence that was made, that the remedy was made from. And that's what began the Blueprint Essences, and discovering that I'm neurodiverse and have autism and ADHD, as a friend of my psychologist who also is neurodiverse joked. She said when she'd had her diagnosis, she said, oh, she was thinking about which of her friends must also be neurodiverse. And her first answer came back. She was like, oh, let's make Danica. Oh, I know, I'll make one remedy. Oh, no, I'll make 90. So they grew from there. I'm very blessed to work with some beautiful energies and have worked with beautiful energies for a very long time. And so I've made a series within the range that's connecting with different archangels, some connecting with different starseed energies, different systems in the galaxy. I've got ones connecting with the solfeggio frequencies, which I love, the sound healing frequencies. Ones connecting directly with pure consciousness, with source, wow, with the heartbeat of Gaia, with the divine masculine, the divine feminine, the Essenes, goddesses, ascended masters. There's a beautiful array. They just grew. I just did what they told me. They just grew.
Now, with, you know, this is the thing, that it's hard to be a creator and an inspired being and a business person and a homeopath and all these other things at the same time. And there is a really exciting opportunity potentially for somebody listening to this podcast. Do you want to share that with them?
Yeah, absolutely. And a mom as well. And you know this too.
And a mom. Oh my gosh. Biggest job of everything.
Yeah. So I love the essence. They're like my babies. But I also recognize that it's time for them to go into the world in a much bigger way, to reach people. I see them do just such beautiful things, and people's reactions when they work with them and see them are just incredible. And so I'm looking for a new custodian for them who has with them the business background, but an ethical, really strong ethical background, who wants to take them on and basically give them the next part of their adventure, which is to really take them out into the world. I'm a creator, I'm a researcher, I'm a homeopath, I'm a nerd with my books, but I'm not the person to, I think, take them out into the world, having brought them through in the way that they deserve and in the way that the world deserves to have. So yeah, so I'm looking for the custodian to take them on. And there are some absolutely amazing opportunities with them and the potential for their growth. There's all sorts of ideas that I have had about where they can go, which are remarkable. So, I'm really excited about it. And there's something for me around, a few people were a bit like, oh, really? Mm. Like, are you sure? And I was like, this feels so great. We need to know when to let go.
Yes, absolutely. And also, you need to spend your time in your genius, you know, and your genius is creating, and somebody else's genius is marketing or this or that or the next thing. So actually standing in that power of that surrender, whatever you want to call it, and realizing, okay, this is actually where my genius is. I need to stay in this to actually serve the world the best. Me nutting out what's the best marketing technique, how I'm going to get out to people. That's not actually your zone of genius. Your zone of genius is being you and creating and allowing the creativity to work through you. So yeah, absolutely. So I know, and you know, the perfect person is going to take this incredible opportunity. It was just going to free you up for even more of your beautiful creative processes. My beautiful friend, is there a final message that you want to leave our listeners with? You know that this would carry on for at least another 3 hours if I didn't have two more interviews after this.
I feel like I could chat to you for hours and hours.
Absolutely. Is there a final message that you want to leave our listeners with? We've said your website at danicaupline.co.uk. It'll be in the show notes as well. But any final message that you want to leave our listeners with?
Thank you so much. My final message at the moment is, I'm doing a lot of work with remedies at quite high potencies, I've always been afraid of kind of, I take them, I've always taken high potencies, but I've always been a bit wary about how much I give to other people. And I've started to realize that actually I'm not very classical in my prescribing. Sometimes I am, but not always. But what I've realized is that we're in a journey on the earth at the moment of building a new earth, which is about interweaving the greatest that we have on the earth, the most beautiful, remarkable energies and wisdoms from ages gone by, as well as incredible ways of living that we've developed in the modern world that honor nature, that honor life, that honor heart and soul. And for me, how we prescribe and how we work with remedies, it's become a flow of color in the way that I see almost like the world is coming together in this flow of color, where we're all coming together, these energies that are emerging and blending. And there's this piece around for me around be brave and listen to what that looks like when you're creating a symphony or a piece of art with your prescribing. I get these amazing, I don't know whether you feel this, but when I put together a prescription, I work at different levels and I put together different combinations sometimes. And I feel like when it's complete, when I've got that masterpiece, it feels like a masterpiece, I get this incredible goosebumps. I get these goosebumps and there it is. So we're building a new earth. Mm. And for me, there's this invitation to open to what the new earth means. And that means bringing together everything that we've had in the most beautiful ways to support us moving forward, to allow ourselves to expand, to grow in the way that Dr. Hahnemann, that he never stopped growing. He never stopped evolving the body of work that is homeopathy in his lifetime. And I think it's a gift for us to continue to do the same, to constantly question and stay open to possibilities.
Absolutely. Beautifully, beautifully said. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me today. I'm very excited, maybe slightly petrified of this next proving. But, you know, if nothing else, I just love getting to hang out with you and trying new remedies. So I would love to continue being part of the proving group with along with all the other beautiful individuals that you've got on there. You know, everyone just has so much to contribute. I'm excited to see where this leads. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Eugenie. I'm so grateful for our friendship, for being able to hang out here, for chatting, for our connection, for all the work that you do in terms of really changing the world in terms of our connection with homeopathy, inspiring all of us in what you do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.